This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Of course, our football coverage on WSSP is presented by T-Mobile. Make sure to head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro today. Just got my iPhone 16 Pro this past week. It is amazing. You're going to want to go check that out. We are joined now by Aaron Nagler, co-founder of Cheesehead TV. You can find him on Twitter, at Aaron Nagler. Aaron, my friend, how the heck are you?
Good morning, Andy. How you doing?
I am fantastic. Did you ever think that there would be a day when we first spoke, I don't know how many years ago it was, that you and I would be talking on a Pack-A-Day radio show live in Milwaukee, and I would be interviewing you? This is still a surreal moment for me. This is insane.
It's fantastic. Hey, it's a testament to your hard work, how you've really absolutely done the work and expanded your brand. And now here you are throwing it down on the radio in Milwaukee. I love it, man. Congratulations.
I appreciate that a ton. I said this to you on Twitter, and I mean it wholeheartedly. Your support has put me in a position to succeed. I am following the Aaron Nagler playbook that you put together, and it is working every step of the way. So, you know, just keep doing what you're doing so I can just keep copying it and doing exactly
the
things.
I
need to figure out a beer next that I can do. So that's like next on my list. I'm just going right down the list and just checking it off one by one. But all right, enough about us. People want to hear about the Green Bay Packers, of course. Now, I want to start in a super fun way. This has been an awesome week of Packers topics, from off-field kicker issues to Green Bay versus the Packers. It's been really fun, Aaron, in the background of what's been a really fun week outside of the off-field stuff. But we have a Green Bay versus the Packers situation going on. Now, I know you talked about it last night on Transplants with Corey Behnke, and more importantly, you interviewed Mayor Genrich on Cheesehead TV previously. We don't have to go in super detail here, but what's your overall takeaway of what this situation is right now?
What I don't understand, and there's a lot I don't understand in this world, Andy, what I don't understand is why the Packers have picked this fight publicly twice now. Remember, this all first came to light during the owners' meeting this offseason when Mark Murphy talked about it with reporters, completely unprompted, I might add. And then you get to yesterday, and the Packers once again have made this a public argument. And I understand their one kind of leverage point probably here is public sentiment. The fact that they are an NFL team, they have millions of fans, they want to get the public on their side. I just don't know what they hope to accomplish here. And for anyone who doesn't know, this is an argument about the lease of Lambeau Field. The Packers want to renegotiate the terms of that lease. The city is saying, we're okay. We'll take that $31 million a year and just keep paying fire, police, doing work around the city, etc. The Packers want to kind of renegotiate and get longer terms, and they look at all these teams like the Brewers and the Ravens in the NFL getting all this public money. The Packers are like, we don't take any public money, but I think we, you know, are a boon to this community, to the city of Green Bay in particular, for certain. We think we should, you know, get some long-term stability and maybe get some more favorable terms. The city's not down with doing that. It is all very boring, and I don't understand why the Packers felt the need to push this yesterday. You're coming off this huge victory. People are in a vibe as far as your franchise goes. You got a young, exciting team, but you felt it necessary. Andy, I found out about it because I got an alert from their app. Yep. Everybody who has notifications on their Packers app got this article pushed to them. I just don't get what the play is, because what's your leverage? It's not like the Packers can leave. They can't move to another city. Yeah. I don't get the Packers' plan here, other than trying to drum up, you know, public sentiment for their side of the story.
Yeah, it's a complicated issue, obviously, and again, it's kind of like, as I mentioned in the first segment, it's like mommy and daddy are fighting. You don't want the city and the team to be fighting against each other. But it is an interesting time frame because, again, there's plenty of time left on the current lease. It doesn't seem like it's anything that's massively urgent. It could easily seem to be, you know, handled in the offseason, unless the draft is something that they really want to get.
That's one part, Andy.
Yeah.
Corey keeps poo-pooing this when I talk about it, but I got to think, what other impetus is there other than next year's draft?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even know how those dots connect, but that's the one pressure point because the Packers want to make, or they talked about wanting to make, these improvements to Lambeau Field, this $80 renovation, et cetera, that they now have had to, in quotes, shelve because of these kind of breakdown in negotiations. So is that something they want to get done before the draft, before all these people show up to Green Bay for the draft, and they don't want to do it without
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
New terms on the lease that frees up the money. That's the one pressure point where I'm thinking,
yeah,
okay, that's the only reason I can even fathom why they would take this public a stance this far out from, you know, there are options in the lease as far as either getting out of it or renegotiating whatever, but that doesn't come up until like the early 2030s.
Yeah. Yeah, the timeline is definitely interesting. Again, that's the only thing I can think about as well. All right, enough about Packer, Green Bay versus the Packers. The last thing I just want to ask you in regards to this, if you're a Packers fan sitting at home and you see this coming up, is there any interest? Is there any, like, is there any nervousness? Is there any worries? Is there any reason that anyone should actually care about this right now?
Absolutely not. And yeah, That's why I'm just flabbergasted at the Packers' public positioning. But no.
Yeah, that's where I'm at as well.
This will get resolved. I don't think any Packers fan should spend any time worrying about it.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same spot, and that's why I kind of just want to be done with the topic. We are going to open and shut this topic right now, Aaron. Last time we're going to talk about it until there's a reason to be more concerned or have any issues with it. Let's talk about more fun stuff. Let's talk about the Packers taking on the Houston Texans at Lambeau Field this upcoming weekend. Now, for Pack-A-Day members and Cheesehead TV newsletter subscribers, we talked about it in great detail so people can go check that out. But I do want to ask you, just more on a fun standpoint, like, what are you most excited about in this game?
The fact that it's such a heavyweight fight and it's such a good measuring stick, because we know, I mean, hell, we do it to Bears fans, right? Oh, great, you guys have beaten all teams with one win. You know, it's like that's the fan part of it where you want your team to be seen as one of the best in the league. Well, guess what? One of the best in the league is coming to town. And if you beat them up in your spot, yeah, you get some bragging rights and you get a measuring stick as far as how real is this team? Because, look, yeah, they absolutely dominated the Cardinals. They didn't look like they were dominating much out in L.A., but they got the win against the Rams. Those aren't two world beaters, you know? So if you can take the Texans on and just show up, have a game, and come out with a victory, that's a good step in the right direction, albeit in mid-October, right? Like, who you are in mid-October is never who you are in late December, and that's when you want to be playing your best ball. But I think you've seen a lot of the young talent start to come to the fore on this team. Now, here comes a legit contender coming into your house. How do these guys hold up? How do they man up? I'm excited about that aspect in particular.
Yeah, very much. That's funny because that very thing, I was looking at the Bears' wins and I'm like, oh, come on. They beat the Panthers. They beat Jacksonville. They beat the Rams. They beat the Titans. I'm like, they haven't even beaten anyone. And I'm like, wait. The Packers beat the Titans, the Colts, the Rams, and the Cardinals. I'm like, all right, not throwing any stones. Right. So if they could get that win against Houston, that would be a nice one to kind of add to the resume. And just, you know, to your point, you want to be playing your best football at the end of the year. But when you get to that point of the year, you know, unless Green Bay can get that first round bye, which is going to be very tough with the division that they're in, they're going to have to go three games, probably maybe on the road, and obviously have a Super Bowl. So, like, they're going to face four teams like this Houston Texans team, and they have to beat them consistently without having any issues. So just having proof of concept that they can have one of these games at home against a really good team and go out and put a good performance, I think that would just go a long way in seeing, all right, they have it in them. You know, they'll have to do it consistently, but that'd be a great sign for this team. As you look at this game and some of the matchups, like, what to you is the one key where if you're looking at, and I know we could always say turnovers and things like that, but outside of the obvious, like, what's the one matchup, the one key that you're really watching that you think could swing this game?
How do the Texans match up their ends with the Packers' offensive tackles? You know, I do think, I mean, you saw against the Patriots, Will Anderson is a home wrecker. Like, he's going to come in and wreck you, whether he's at his spot or away. It doesn't matter. Crowd noise, what have you. He is going to wreck shop. And I think, obviously, Zach Tom's having an all-pro season. There's no doubt there. But Rashid Walker, he's had a solid year, but, you know, he's had issues with penalties. He's been inconsistent, I would say, with his technique. And he's let, you know, of the two tackles, he's certainly been, you know, the spot you got to think an opponent is looking at to try and take advantage of. How does he hold up, especially in, you know, third and long, obvious passing situations? I think more than any other week, it's why it's so important to stay on schedule on offense. You saw them do a great job in that regard against the Cardinals. Can they keep that up against the Texans? Because the, you know, the more third and eight plus you're going to have to face these guys on the edge for the Texans, they're a major problem.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit in the first segment too, of how this is a really fun matchup. I do think, you know, it's interesting because Will Anderson is usually a little bit more of their left defensive end, which would line him up with Zach Tom. Danielle Hunter, more their right defensive end, which would line him up with Rashid Walker. I do. If there's one thing that Zach Tom, it's so funny, he's so much the right tackle version of David Bakhtiari. Not to that quite extent. I don't want to put any pressure on him. That's you know, unfair. But the one thing Bakhtiari struggled with a little bit from time to time was a bull rush. And with Zach Tom, it's the same thing. Zach Tom has unbelievable feet. His hands are great. He has got unbelievable technique. But every once in a while, he's a little bit susceptible to a bull rush. Danielle Hunter, very physical player. We'll see if maybe they try to get that matchup where Will Anderson, that speed against Rashid Walker. We know that Walker will, one, have a propensity maybe to try to get off the line of scrimmage a little bit early, have a false start penalty, or maybe grab every once in a while. I do think, as we kind of talked about the other day, I think we could see a little bit of a tight end lined up on Rashid Walker's side a little bit more, maybe a little bit of chip help.
There'll be help throughout the game. There's no doubt about that. You've seen that all season long from LaFleur. I mean, I think he's been really smart about it. But eventually, you know, like, you have to get into – you will get into situations where you guys don't have any help and they got to hold up.
No, very well said. Can the big question here, we just talked about the turnovers there for a second. Can this defense keep the turnovers flowing? Because this has been pretty epic for the first six games of this season.
Unbelievable, right? I mean, the only team in the league currently with multiple turnovers through all six games. It's the first time the Packers have had multiple turnovers in their first six games, each and every one, since 1996. Now, that was a pretty darn good defense that finished first overall that year. I don't know if they're quite at that level, but, man, I don't see why not. Here's the thing. Between McKinney and Evan Williams, you know, his peanut punch the other day, that was pretty eye-popping. And these guys are really raking at the ball in a way that I don't think we really saw under Joe Barry. Whether it was, you know, the work by Williams there with the punch out, whether it's Carl Brooks working down the line, swiping his big paw at the ball. I mean, these guys are really attacking the football in a way that we haven't seen in Green Bay in quite some time. And I do think, yes, you do wonder, like, okay, if the takeovers dry up, can they hold up? Can they force some three and outs? Can they force some punts? I think that will come. But I love the idea that, first and foremost, they're trying to get the ball back for their offense. I mean, the opportunities alone that the offense has been afforded to put more points on the board, that's how you win games. That's the ball is life, as you hear Matt LaFleur talk about all the time. It's usually, almost always, the number one indicator of wins and losses in the NFL. I have zero issue with the way they're taking the ball away. Can they keep it up? I don't see why not. I think Hapley's done a really good job of not only, you know, emphasizing it, but every team emphasizes it, but he's putting them in position to do so. The idea of the vision-based secondary, having their eyes on the quarterback, knowing and being able to see things develop, route combinations. No, oh, I see where he's going. I mean, you've seen that from McKinney how many times?
Yeah.
So I do think, yeah, there's always an element of luck involved, certainly. But it's not like this team isn't set up to continue doing it.
Yeah, there's a couple of those, like the fumble between Murray and the running back last week with that put on the ground that you say thank you.
Lucky, but also they you know, Kenny Clark absolutely blows that play up at the mesh point. You know, there's an element to the defense helping cause that, no doubt.
And on the flip side too, like we saw, we saw Xavier McKinney drop a pick last week. We saw Keyshawn Nixon drop a potential pick six in week one. Jair Alexander was set up for a pick in week one. Yeah. So like there have been a lot of other opportunities where this team could have even had 3, 4, 5 more turnovers if they maybe just hold on to one or two here or there too. So I don't see it stopping.
McKinney
should have
had 3 in L.A. Yeah, McKinney should have had 3 in L.A. I mean, that game alone.
Yeah, very much so. So those opportunities definitely there, and I definitely think they're going to keep coming. Speaking of Evan Williams, and I want to bring Adrian Cooper into this as well. How do you possibly keep either of these guys off the field anymore? I know they like their rotations and their competition, but man, this defense is just better when those two guys are out there.
Yeah, I get what they want to do as far as matching up with your opponent, and I think somewhat the offense that they're facing is going to dictate some of that. I think we saw a bit of that against the Cardinals, because the week prior, Evan Williams had played the entirety of the game as the safety opposite Xavier McKinney. And then you get to the Cardinals game, and he's out there, but they certainly started to rotate a little bit, where they had Bullard down in the slot, but then they would drop Bullard back into the safety role and have Williams on the sideline. I do think it's going to be somewhat opponent-dependent, but to your point, man, Evan Williams is too good a football player to be sitting on the bench for any stretch of time. And as far as Adrian Cooper goes, it is interesting because he finally got, more snaps than Isaiah McDuffie, and I think we've all seen that coming. But at the same time, every single time LaFleur is asked about it, about getting Cooper on the field, about what Cooper brings to the table, he's almost always responded with, well, still got alignment issues, got stuff to clean up. So I do think, as exciting and as obvious as his talent is, it's clear that they are still seeing stuff on tape that maybe isn't costing them, but it's like we've got to get that cleaned up before we're trusting him 100% of the time. And I understand that. It's a very long season. They've been working him more and more each and every game. I have to think as the season goes on, you will get to a point where he is out there full time, but they're just not quite there yet.
Yeah, and I appreciate what they're doing with him too. I think if that's the what you need to do to kind of get him ready and amped up to play that way and getting all the right alignments and things like that and giving him more small sample sizes to get to that point, I'm fine with that. This is a small sliver of Adrian Cooper's what hopefully is going to be a very successful career in Green Bay. So get him up to speed as much as you need. He's playing well when he's in there, so they're putting him obviously in those positions to succeed. So hopefully it does get to the point where he can be out there full time. But if he a little bit more spoon feeding to get there along the way, so be it. It is working out well so far. I want to ask you about a really interesting player on this team. One that is maybe a little bit polarizing from time to time. That is Keyshawn Nixon. Keyshawn Nixon is a very interesting player where, anytime you're a corner, you're going to give up some plays and it doesn't always look the best, but he's having a pretty big impact on this defense. They're using him in a variety of different roles. We've seen him more on the outside. Your thoughts on Keyshawn Nixon's performance through the course of this year so far?
My co-founder at Cheesehead TV, Corey Banky, put it perfectly couple weeks ago when we were live on our show. He said, look, I don't care where they play him. I don't care what you call him. He's a football player.
Yeah.
He's a guy that just comes down in and down out, gives it his all. Is he the best? Is he an all pro? No. But I tell you what, you can absolutely play winning football with him. And they certainly have done that these last 2 weeks, especially. I don't doubt for a moment that, come next year, 2 years down the road, is he their long-term answer at any of these positions, be it slot, corner, outside, etc.? Maybe not. Maybe they end up improving there. Maybe they end up kind of going another route, trying to improve there, etc. But right now, they trust him implicitly. There's nothing, I think they could play him at nose tackle if they wanted to. There's nothing that they have asked him to do that he hasn't hit the ground running and gone a million miles an hour about. And is it always the prettiest? No. But, man, I love his energy. I love his down-in and down-out mentality. If he does get beat, which, like you said, man, people get beat in the league. It happens every single day. But it doesn't faze him. He comes back and plays the next snap as if nothing has happened. You need that mentality back there. And he's a willing tackler. He's a guy who's not afraid to be physical. along the line of scrimmage, blitzing off the edge, everything you want from that position, he gives you. Full disclosure, this offseason, I 100% said they need to improve at slot. I was all in on, okay, let's draft somebody, bring somebody in. The Packers clearly thought differently, gave him the contract, brought him back. And I'm fine with that. That's their determination. And he's playing well, and he's proving, maybe not proving them right, but they're showing they can win with him. And that's all you care about. As long as you're playing winning defense, which they are, I'm fine.
Yeah, you need a couple Keyshawn Nixons on your team. He's just that type of football player, and he can do a variety of different things. I like the way he's playing. One of the things I've really kind of learned over the last few seasons too is, you especially in the slot, you have to grade the slot position on a curve, because that is an impossible position to play unless you're a prime Charles Woodson or maybe a Jalen Ramsey. Just the amount of things that you are asked to do in that position, from run defense and taking on blocks to blitzing off the edge to covering tight ends, running backs, wide receivers, Justin Jeffersons, Christian McCaffreys, George Kittles, Travis Kelce, like you have an unrealistic job description. You're going to give up some plays, but he more than holds his own. I'm very happy he's on the team, and I think they're utilizing him in the right way so far.
And the fact that they're able to put him out there against some of the best athletes with two-way goes, with the whole field in front of them, he holds up remarkably well in that regard. A lot better than I would have expected.
Yeah, totally agree. And if you would have told me at the beginning of the year too that like Keyshawn Nixon on the outside was a thing, I'd be like, oh, I'm not so sure. But he's held up. Like, doubt Keyshawn Nixon at your own peril, because this is an undrafted free agent. When he got to years in with the Raiders, when he got to Green Bay, he got a bare minimum contract, no signing bonus whatsoever, and all he's done is become a 2-time first team All Pro, a starting slot corner. And again, doubt that guy at your own peril. Like you said, you could probably play him at nose tackle, running back, wide receiver, just about anywhere, and he'd find a way to make it successful. So, Aaron, tell us all the amazing stuff about Cheesehead TV, because we need to be checking it out every single day.
Just make sure you're hitting up CheeseheadTV.com each and every day, 365 days a year. We never stop when it comes to the green and gold. You can follow us on Twitter at Cheesehead TV. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Watch parties every Sunday. We basically watch the Packers game each and every week with Packers fans from all over the world. It's a lot of fun. Make sure you're joining us.
Yeah, it's must watch, must listen, as Aaron is every single day over on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Find him at Aaron Nagler, and of course on Cheesehead TV every day with the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Aaron, thank you so much. I cannot appreciate you enough for coming on and joining me. I'm sure we will do it again soon, and I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely, Andy. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. We'll talk again soon. When we come back, we'll be going to the phone. So get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Listener Line at 414-677-1250. It is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket, alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.